So for the cases that I've been involved in so far, we've all been able to prepare for hearings in much the same way that we would for in-person hearings. We've been not in the same room, but we felt like we were in the same room. I mean, the technology's been pretty seamless, and we're getting our clients comfortable with the technology. We're running practice test sessions with our clients and the witnesses before the hearings to make sure that they're comfortable appearing on camera, and that they can, you know, we can work through some of those technology glitches that Judge Isger mentioned in advance. But, you know, fortunately, you know, all parties and the court have been very patient with the technology issues, and we've been able to work through virtual hearings, whether it's just evidentiary or it's oral argument. We've worked through issues very seamlessly and haven't missed a beat, really.
I think that's great. Let's talk a little bit about...
I had an issue come up, if people are interested. We actually had a dispute between the parties in a pretty complex hearing as to whether the witness could be in the same room as their lawyer when the other lawyer wasn't going to be in that room. And one of the proposals was, well, we're inviting the lawyer over. Everybody can be here in the same room with our witness. And the lawyer said, you know, look, I don't want to go over to their office and be in the room with a whole bunch of people. And just trying to work out those kind of logistics where, you know, what do you do about that situation? And what I ended up doing was saying that the witness and the lawyer can be in the same law firm complex, but the witness literally needs to be in a separate room within that law firm from the lawyer that's examining him, to try and balance out the equality of having the cross-examining lawyer not be at a disadvantage with the examining lawyer. Everybody ended up agreeing to that, and it worked fine. But you can have those issues that come up, and it's sort of unique in the COVID world.
Yeah, that's a great kind of question. Leads me to something different. Have you had any one judge insist on, like, in-person hearings, like, say something like, we'll all get COVID tested, we want to come into the courtroom, we want to submit our negative COVID test, can we all just come in?
Yeah, I'm not doing in-person hearings with or without COVID tests right now. I can't in a complex case. If I ever did it, and I haven't done it yet, I would do it in a little bitty case. But I'm not going to put 50 people in my courtroom. What are you supposed to tell your client? No, I don't want to show up. Demetra, if you're representing somebody and they say, look, everybody else is in the courtroom, you need to go too. You're not going to be able to tell your client no.
That's right.
You don't feel safe. And I'm not going to put people in a position where they may have health risks. They may have some reason why it's especially dangerous for them to get exposed. And I'm not going to put that versus representing the clients. So I just, it's been, I think, since March 1, since I've had an in-person hearing. And I think it's worked out.
Yeah, I definitely think it's worked really well. Alfredo, let's talk about, like, savings to the estate. So, you know, everyone understands that now we're traveling yet less because of the virtual hearings. And as well as there is flexibility in being able to get more hearings and get things done quicker, because, you know, I joke all the time that now that we do everything by Zoom, by video, there are no breaks in your day. Like, you look up and you just have hearing to speech to conference call. There's no bio breaks. There's nothing. But that also, you know, leads to efficiency. Have you seen that there's actually a savings besides just the travel?
Tremendous savings. I think that, number one, you know, the downtime of the court hearings is gone. You know, you can, if for whatever reason the court is running late, it's not like you're not at your desk, can be working on other things. Second, you know, we used to, when we had a first day hearing, we would go over with 10 boxes full of paper that, you know, we would try to give out so we wouldn't have to take back to the office and let everybody else carry it back. And now there's very, very few copies made. And I mean, if you just look at any of the invoices that we're sending out, it's not unusual to have, you know, a couple $100, you know, on a several $100,000 invoice, just because of that. But the costs are really only a small part of it. I really do think that the ability to more effectively manage your time is going to be a great savings to the client. I'm going to be hard pressed, you know, when hopefully things get back to normal, to have a first day hearing where you have, you know, 10 lawyers come in for the hearing, because they all worked on the matters, and they have, some of them have a speaking role, some of them don't have a speaking role. That's just not going to happen anymore. I don't think clients are going to be receptive to that type of cost. Even if it is a big case, just because, it can be done just as effectively. And you know, the focus has to be on